Hey everyone, today's episode is a follow-up with Sarah from episode 2. So before we start, here's a quick recap from her first episode.
I love love, but I am so terrified of it.
What are you scared of?
I feel like it's deeper and it could have been passed on in my DNA. Could be my mom's, that I'm replaying her story. My mom, she feels like she lost the love of her life through a miscommunication when she was 29, and he married another woman the next day. I just feel like he's my person, you know? Like, I feel like he's my match, probably similar to my mom.
How long have you known him for?
11 years.
Wow.
You know, and that's the thing, is I don't know if I've really clearly expressed my love in the best way.
Oh, like your mom.
Okay, that was the recap. So now let's start today's episode.
All right. Mic check 1, 2. Can I have you say mic check 1, 2 one more time?
Mic check 1, 2.
All right, Sarah.
Yay!
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Seriously, thank you so much for coming. I have so many questions. I've like rewatched the episode like multiple times, and I kind of like beat myself up about it. I was like, why didn't I ask her this? Why didn't I ask her that? I think like the first question I have to ask you, and you probably already know what it's going to be, is what's going on with the guy you were talking about last time?
Well, wow. Well, first of all, I have to thank you, you know, just for opening that portal. I did make a phone call. We did reconnect, and yeah, I was able to be clear about how I felt.
Okay.
And yeah, it's interesting. There's just so much mutual admiration and compatibility and attraction and chemistry, and ultimately we just want different things.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not bad news,
right? It's not bad news, you know? And that's what we both decided in that moment of, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Of course, it's heartbreaking. And I actually didn't even put... I was like, should I put on makeup today? And I was like, you know what? I'm probably going to cry today. So I didn't. And I'm okay with that, too. I think it's the full moon today too, so emotions run high anyways for me on these days. But yeah, I'm grateful, because what it did was it gave me clarity. And even after our interaction, you know, I revisited all the possibilities of what our connection is, the different beliefs in my life that have created the situation as it is, ultimately yearning for people who aren't really available. And I've looked at that. I've looked at all the different facets of what that could be, and what I've come to understand over the years and through the work that I've done through lots of different practices and mystery schools and embodiment teachers. And I really am into doing the work in the body. I think all of our wisdom lives here. And what I've discovered is it's all a mirror. And if I'm attracted to people who aren't available for me, that means I'm not really available for me. And so it just gave me the opportunity to look deeper, peel back layers, and then also hear back. When you sent me the draft, to hear my story back. I've told it before, but I've never heard it back. And it was so powerful. Yeah, that... I'm really grateful for that. And the healing that was able to occur between me and my mom, just on a deeper level, you know, the story I shared, her story, she told me that when I was like 9. So, of course, there are pieces that were fragmented and I didn't get right, or I didn't remember correctly. Because there was even pieces I was like, really? I was so sure. And so it really gave me the opportunity to hear her story as an adult.
Right.
Which landed in a totally different way. and to understand her better, and for us to be able to, you know, see more clearly what we've created for ourselves and why, so that we can transform that and step into experiencing the life that we both want. And so thank you again for giving both of us that gift to dive deeper and to share with each other, you know, our personal stories, and then how they coincide, how they affect each other, how we can break out of these old patterns and really, like I said, just live the life that we want to be experiencing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need to thank me.
I
feel so lucky to get to like hear stories like yours, and then not only that, but to share it with people who like connect with you. I've loved reading the comments. There's so many like women especially who like relate to your story or learn from your story. So yeah, thank you for me and everyone. I think all my subscribers, so many people were like, can you give her a hug for me? Like,
seriously, you told me your subscribers were the best, and they are the best. Yeah. The comments that I did read, I felt just so seen and heard, and mostly they're celebrating you, which is so beautiful. So I just want to reflect to you again that like the work that you're doing in the world is so powerful, and it's creating a bigger ripple than you could probably ever imagine.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah.
I have a, like, you said something which I thought was interesting, because I don't do follow-ups very often, or at least I've done follow-ups before, but I've had people send in videos, so I've never had a conversation with someone after they've seen themselves on my channel. And you said that like you've told the story multiple times, but you've never heard it back. So like, can you kind of walk us through like that more specifically? Was there certain parts that like you connected with hearing yourself share your story on the episode?
Yeah. There's so many layers, and it's so multifaceted.
I know.
What it did was it helped me get clear, which is constantly what I'm aiming to do in my life, is just refine the life experience that I do want to have. The thing is, I wouldn't change anything. Like, there's nothing I would do different. And so that was refreshing, too, to see that and know my story and be able to own it, and and know that however it looks or however it lands for people, it doesn't really matter. And ultimately, I feel like we're all here to get to know ourselves as sovereign beings so that we can enjoy relationship and partnership. And I feel like when I watched that back, I saw how consumed I was with being ready for partnership.
Okay.
For 15 years. My thing was, like, I'm getting ready to experience partnership so that when I come into union, because that's the way the vision that I've seen is, like, divine spirit love that just is contagious, where we create magic and spread joy. And we're on purpose, living our missions together, inspiring others to do the same. Like, that's the vision that I've been holding. And in watching that, I had to ask myself, like, you know, is that because I grew up watching Disney movies? Like, is that possible? My mom's, actually, she's 66. I got her age wrong. She's 66, and part of what she also discovered through this was, like, maybe that wasn't the love of her life. Maybe it was just a fantasy that kept her safe because she was scared of love.
Wow.
Or whatever her reason was. But to her to have that experience of when she heard that back, to realize I wouldn't change a thing either. She wouldn't have had me, she wouldn't have had my brother, and she's present to the life that she does have is the life she was meant to have. And so we didn't go into it too much deeper, but hopefully it gave her permission to also open up and create space for a new person to come in her life to experience love with. And that's what it gave me. It gave me the ability to say, well, I'm not waiting for him to figure out what his deal is, because I can't. And he's clear, he doesn't think he's made for partnership. And I feel clear that I am. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it gave me the ability to just get clear instead of dancing around the truth.
Mm-hmm. Seems like that was probably kind of scary but beautiful to realize.
Oh my God, it was scary. And also I know I can handle anything.
Yeah.
And so it was taking that leap of like, okay, I may be disappointed. I may not get what I want. And I'll be able to come out on the other end stronger and better and clearer and create space for somebody who wants the same things that I do.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in feeling all the feelings. You know, yes. One of my teachers says women are like, and maybe all humans, but I love this. She says women are like the 88 keys of the piano. They, you know, we have this range of emotions. Mm-hmm. Some of them sound beautiful, but some of them don't. Some of them sound, you know, are dissonant, resonant. So it's a matter of like so many people, especially women, we're afraid to tap into those other emotions that maybe are uncomfortable. They don't sound so great. They don't look so great. And I'm about exploring all of those and just feeling the feeling. And one of my main practices in embodiment is allowing myself the space to feel it. And then naming the sensation in the body when I do feel it and just watching that sensation. And when you watch the sensations and you name those sensations, they transform, they shift the moment you bring your awareness to them. So I just gave myself a day after I came home. I just gave myself that container to be sad and to feel heartbroken and to realize that the fantasy essentially that I created around this specific person being the one was an illusion that had just been broken, and I had to be okay with that. And so yeah, it was about a full day and it was great. I journaled, I meditated, I got clear about what I wanted, more clear about what I wanted. And yeah, I just realized that, I don't know, I guess there's a part of me that kind of always knew it, you know? I never acknowledged that before, though. That's why I kept him at a distance. That's probably why I never had that conversation. Mm. And he served as a catalyst for so many beautiful things in my life. And I think a part of me wanted to keep having that, and I will probably. He does inspire me still. I still love him the same.
Okay.
Yeah, I still love him. I still love him. We will continue to be friends forever.
Okay, yeah, that was my next question.
Yeah.
Has it taken a toll at all on your relationship?
No.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, usually when, usually it turns out the other way around from stories I've heard. Like, as soon as you tell someone how you feel it doesn't reciprocate, it makes things awkward.
Right.
But I think that just shows the unique relationship that you have with them, though.
Right. Well, I follow astrology, and I'm a double Libra, so Libras are all about relationship.
Okay.
So, for me, I'm all about how I relate to people all the time.
That's awesome. I'm laughing because right before the interview, I was asking my cousin, should I ask her what sign she is?
My sun is Capricorn.
Oh, it is.
My moon and rising are
both
Libra.
What do you think I am?
That's a good question. I feel like you're an earth sign. Well, I feel like you could be a Libra. I feel like you could be... Oh, shoot. Okay, I'm gonna go with... Okay, I have three guesses.
Okay.
Taurus, Leo, or Libra.
Okay, pick one. You got one. It's one of those. I can't
Leo.
Believe. Oh my god! You're kidding! You're kidding!
I told you I'm into astrology.
Oh wait, how did you know that? How did you know that?
Well, I'm not gonna lie. The hair kind of gives it away. Leos always have this amazing hair. That's like the number one thing.
So
and then
crazy.
You're just, your willingness to be out, you're connecting to people, your smile, your like, your radiance is, yeah, very Leo.
That is crazy. Cause like, I mean, I.
That'd be awesome if your rising and your moon were Libra and.
I know.
We gotta figure that out.
I know. Cause I have to know what time I was born for
yeah,
that, right?
You
I don't know exactly what time I was born.
Okay.
That's the sad. We were trying to figure that out too, but. Yeah, so the thing is, like, I've been getting into astrology, not, like, intensely, but just because my cousins are super into it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, Shami, are you super into it, or are you just into it because Alana, too? Yeah, same here. But, like, our younger cousin, she's so into it. Like, before I show her this interview where you, like, give away what your sign is, I'm gonna, tell her, guess what Sarah's sign
okay.
is. Cause she's pretty good at guessing them, too, but... She's going to get a kick out of this. How many signs are there?
12.
12. Okay, so...
In Western astrology, there's right. 12.
So still, that's impressive that you were able to guess mine. That's crazy. but... dang. I can't get over that. all right, so... Sharon, do you have any questions? This is like a nice break for you to come in. I know, I'm like way too excited that she gets my sign. Where did all my questions go?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, a main thing that I want this episode to be about is you, because so many people are interested in you. And, like, I couldn't think of, like, the right questions to ask you, because I just thought maybe I'd just give the stage to you. If you could, like, just tell us more about you. Like, what do you do now? What have you done before? Like, things like that.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. yeah, my life is so multifaceted. I feel like I've lived so many incarnations in this body already. Well, when I was 22, I had a spiritual awakening. No, I was 21. I had a spiritual awakening. I had a near-death experience. And in that, I touched infinity. I went to the other side and just ultimate bliss. It was just, yeah, I just touched the other side. And I came back and I woke up the next day in my body and I was completely fragmented for quite a while, about 3 months. But what I realized was essentially what I relate it to is the dark night of the soul. I had just to face myself. I was living in Texas, I was in college, and my whole life changed. I don't really know what it was, but it was like I died to myself in a way and experienced, I don't know if it was a mystical death, I don't know what it was exactly, but it's like the human that I was before. I remember who that human is, but I totally shifted in every way of my life. When you listen and you're present to a bigger source, something bigger than us, orchestrating life, magic happens. And I saw that really clearly when I was 21. During that year of sort of just being blown open, feeling like I had no idea who I was, why I was here, I started asking questions like that. I've always journaled. And I just noticed I was asking these bigger questions of, why are you here? What are you doing? And I essentially dropped out of college after studying for 5 years. I was 3 hours shy of getting my degree.
3 hours?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, the rebel in me just said, you know what? I wasn't built for systems, and I got an education. I don't need that piece of paper that says I did it.
Wow.
And at that time, I told myself, I'm going to be a millionaire, and I want to show people you don't have to get a piece of paper that's to be successful. I just started waking up to, when I asked those questions, I started receiving the answers, and I saw there is the highest path, I saw an intellectual path for me, which was as an astrophysicist working for NASA, studying the nature of black holes, which definitely interests me. And what I realized is, with the mystical path, I'm essentially studying the black hole that is myself. You know, it's like, instead of going outward, you know, it's about going inward. And that's really what my journey has been about for the last 15 years. And so I became a seeker. I dropped out of school. I was obsessed with Joseph Campbell in college. And so I started essentially charting the hero's journey. You know, it's funny, my journey, now that I'm hearing it or just like listening to myself tell it, it's like, it's all been spirit driven. Nothing I do is rational. Nothing. For the last 15 years, nothing is rational. I just really am anchored, and I know there's something bigger than me guiding me. And I essentially started creating jobs and work, doing all the things I love at a young age. Yeah, I just am just fully living in the magic and the mystery that is everywhere all the time. And so part of what I love to do is help women specifically, but just people, create space for that listening. Mm-hmm. Listening what's the body's telling you, listening to what the mind's telling you, listening to the anything. You get quiet, if you have a question, I believe spirit speaks in metaphor and will tell you very quickly through a crow or, you know, the plane going by, whatever it is. If you're willing to receive the answer, you'll get it. And so I love to show people that you can live your life that way, and it can be fun and miraculous in every moment. I believe we're creating our reality all the time. And so what I want to help people do is create the reality that they want, essentially their dream life.
Yeah.
And I do that through lots of different avenues.
There's so much of what you said that I have like follow-ups on, if you don't mind.
Totally.
If I backtrack a little bit too.
Not at all. Sorry if I also.
No. Like, I just feel like I wish someone was asking the questions for me, because I just want to listen to you. But the first question I have is, you mentioned that you had a near-death experience. Mm-hmm. Do you mind telling us what happened?
Yeah. No, I don't mind. I don't know exactly. I think it was a mixture of stress, and I was on a cocktail of prescription drugs that essentially my dad prescribed me, you know, like called the doctor and was like, she needs these things. And I wasn't sleeping because I had so much workload. And yeah, I don't know exactly like what it was that caused it. Like I said, it was like the dark night of the soul. It was almost like a mental break.
Right.
Because I felt at my darkest point at that time. But essentially, I was actually finishing a paper, and I just went to one of my best friend's house. She lived across the street from our university, and I lived really far, and so I asked if I could stay at her house because I needed to get back as soon as the library opened to finish this paper. And so I went to her house, and I was going to sleep on her couch, and I remember I was reading this book, and I was just thinking, I read a little bit of the book just to get my mind off of school so that I could go to sleep. And I was laying on the couch, and I was just thinking about the book, and then all of a sudden I felt just like a lightness in my being. And even though the couch was right there, I saw like a spirit, like a, and I kind of, you know, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, am I hallucinating? Yeah. Like, is that real? What's going on? But it was very calming. I wasn't scared. And like I said, like the downloads, this was before I went to Australia. This was my spiritual awakening, but this is like the beginning of what I consider my downloads. Like, I was just receiving this information. And I saw my life flash before my eyes, and I got like, wow, I understand why I had such a full, crazy life before 21 years old, because I'm dying at 21. Mm. And I remember feeling before, like, or even just seeing my life flash before my eyes, like, I had so many experiences. We moved every year growing up.
Wow.
So I went to a lot of schools. I had a lot of experience. I had a lot of freedom because my mom was a single mom.
Yeah.
I just remember feeling like, oh, okay, I had a full life because I'm dying at 21. Well, there's a couple interesting components. I was suffering from an eating disorder at that time. And one of the visions that I got was of Mary Kate Olsen in a hospital bed suffering from an eating disorder.
Okay.
And I had this, what came to me was, at least you didn't go out like that. And I text my mom. I grabbed my phone because I knew I was just like, I felt like I was just like hanging on by a thread to this body. Or no, I text myself because I knew if I text my mom at whatever time it is that I'm dying, it's not going to go over well, but
yeah.
I know they're going to look at my phone. And so, and this was even before smartphones. So I text myself. It was like 5 text messages long because you could only do like 60 characters. And I basically wrote a letter to my mom saying, you know, I went in peace, you know, tell Ladybug and Scott and my dad, I love them. Everything is fine. And I wrote that. I wrote, at least I didn't go out like Mary Kate. And that's probably part of why I remember that piece of the story, or piece of what happened. Basically in that, I was curious, like, who is this spirit that's guiding me through my death? And what I got was Heath Ledger. And I was like, okay. And then at some point during this, I had this like euphoric feeling come over me. And it was like, this is what it feels like when you meet your soulmate. And I had this moment in my death experience of like, oh my God, Heath Ledger is my soulmate, but I'm dying. And like, now I don't get to be with him. Like, what a bummer. And yeah, I woke up the next day. I just remember like my eyes flashing open and seeing the back of my friend's couch. And I just thought, no, no, no way. Like, I can't still be here. Like, I cannot go to school right now and finish this paper. Like,
yeah.
I was liberated from everything. And now I'm back here. Like, I felt so trapped instantaneously. I just felt like, this can't be real. This can't be real. I just had so much resistance to the fact that I was in my body again. Yeah. And I told my friend what happened. I went to school. She called me at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I have chills. And she said, Sarah, where are you? I said, I'm driving home from school. She said, you need to pull over. And I said, why? She said, Sarah, Heath Ledger died last night. I instantly felt him in the passenger seat. It was like a presence. And the only thing I could relate it to is because I grew up like in church. I took myself to church, but like a Jesus figure, like this presence of like, oh my God. And yeah, I didn't, like I said, the next 3 months were completely fragmenting for me. I think probably the next thought I had was, I'm crazy. I'm crazy.
But like, I'm so, that, like, were you think, were you a big Heath Ledger fan? Like, did you think about him often?
No, I mean, you know, I thought he was cute and like, I loved,
just like anyone else.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And so essentially through this dark night of the soul period, uh-huh. he was guiding me through it. And I feel he's still one of my main guides. And it's crazy, actually, how many weavings have occurred because of him, I believe, that I didn't even know were orchestrated by him at first. You know, just becoming, like, going to Australia, meeting, I have friends who are actors in LA who I've been friends with for over a decade and only recently found out that they were closely connected to Heath Ledger. Wow. Like, I had his best friend in the passenger seat of my car. I offered another friend. He was in town. My friend was like, oh, my friend's in town. I was like, oh, I'll take him to Five Rhythms, which is an embodiment practice I do. Mm-hmm. And within, we were in the car maybe 8 minutes. And as we're driving there, I'm telling him about my near-death experience.
Like the whole story? Yeah, with Heath Ledger and everything?
Well, I was just like, oh, I don't even know. I remember parking my car and I turn to him and he's looking at me and he has tears running down his face. And he's like, Sarah, Heath was my best friend and he died on my birthday. Yeah.
I'm getting so many chills. Okay, keep going.
So, yeah, I mean, essentially, I started journaling a lot. Just, like, feeling like I needed to process it and get it out and also just document, like, what was happening.
Yeah.
But I had a turning point where I did for a while. I was like, I'm crazy. Nobody gets me. Nobody's going to get this. Who am I going to tell? I mean, I tried to tell my mom. Well, I told her, but it was sort of like, you know, when you can't relate.
Yeah.
It's like, she was like, okay. It's not that she didn't get it, but it was just like her daughter is just telling her that, like, Heath Ledger came to her the night that he died and, like, she had a near-death experience and what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I felt him guiding me. And then, like I said, my whole life changed. Everything changed. And, yeah, I didn't realize for many years that he was guiding me. But then, do you know who Kyle Cease is?
No.
He's a comedian turned transformational coach. But he's okay. A good friend of mine. Like a year and a half ago or something, we were out to dinner. And I think I mentioned something about Heath or something. Oh, Andrew Keegan. Do you know who Andrew Keegan is?
No, I don't know names.
Yeah, he's an actor. He was in 10 Things I Hate About You with Heath Ledger.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was the rich guy.
Okay.
So he's also a friend of mine. So that's where I, like, started piecing these things together. I'm like, wow, all these people are connected to Heath. And, yeah, we were out to dinner, and then he was like, you know, I was in 10 Things I Hate About You. And I was like, you were? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, like, I just didn't realize how connected. I mean, I knew everything is connected, but, you know, sometimes we don't know everything's connected.
Yeah.
But when you start to see the different threads.
Yeah. Wow.
So essentially, 9 months later, when that guy walked into the room.
Okay.
That was the feeling I got in my body.
Oh.
And it was like, it flooded me.
The feeling you got the night.
He said, this is what it feels like when you meet your soulmate. Ultimately, that guy is one of my soulmates, you know. I've asked, you know, I've been angry before around, like, why did you make me believe this? Like, not at him, but the universe of, like, why did you plant this seed when at one point he was engaged and married different people to, you know, other people. And it just felt like, why? You know, I feel like I've asked that question so many times. And I'm okay with never knowing because, like I said, I've spent so long trying to figure out what the connection is about. What I've come to understand is that we knew everything. We chose to forget. Like, that's part of the game. Coming back to Earth. Like, we create these soul contracts with people that help us on our journey. Essentially, help each other remember. who we are, walking, as Ram Dass says, help, we're just all walking each other home. A lot of times these relationships and these soulmates, mm-hmm. they end up teaching me a lot about myself, and oftentimes they're reflecting things that I'm not seeing or willing to see.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall rock climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I am curious if you've had any other soulmates in your life. And you could, if you could tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've dated, you know, quite a few people, but it's like, for me, it's so much energetics. I can see pretty instantly, like,
wow,
if there's compatibility or not. Of like, so it is pretty rare, and that's why I can name those 7 guys. Yeah. Actually, 2 of them are women.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have been in a relationship with one of them, and then one of them, she totally broke my heart.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were both these wounded birds. We met at a retreat.
Oh, did
you know? We were like this, like, wounded birds that had the same wound of, like, being in love with someone who wasn't in love with us. Mm. Ultimately, she ended up leaving me because of, she knew how much I was in love with this other guy. And she was like, I feel the connection between you guys. We weren't even in communication, him and I. She was like, the connection, but I told him about her about him, and she was like, I know that if he comes back, you're gonna be gone in a heartbeat.
Was that true?
I didn't think it was, and that was what was really heartbreaking. Of us, like, wow, I really feel like I'm, like, loving you fully, and it's heartbreaking that you think that.
Yeah.
And you're leaving me because of that fear. But yeah, you know, we're still friends, and
you're still friends with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask a follow-up. I hope it's okay that I asked this.
Totally.
Do you have any regrets about that? Like, do you kind of wish that you weren't so into this guy, so things would have worked out with her? Or
no?
Okay.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah, I feel like we fulfilled our soul contract.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
So another, well, it's a request, you said, for my cousin has a request for you, if you don't mind. So being in the field that you're in, is there, like, a tool you could give my audience as far as, like, manifestation and, like, all of that goes?
Totally. Okay, I'll teach you guys this. There's something called the Wheel of Manifestation.
Okay.
And I learned this from my alchemy teacher, Avery. He's amazing. Okay, so basically it's like a diamond, like a square,
okay,
on its side. So the top, is that a diamond? Not a diamond. What's a square? And it's, well, square.
It's like a side square.
Side square. Okay. With one of the points pointing up and one down.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first point is fire.
Okay.
Truth. So you anchor in the present moment. If you want to manifest something, you anchor in the present moment. It is March 27th, 2021. We are in Balboa Park in San Diego on planet Earth. Uh-huh. We're here. The next, you move over to the next point, which is the thought. So I'm thinking the thought. For instance, what's something that you would like to manifest in your life?
Ooh.
It could be anything.
I was gonna tell her. No. Okay, this is a wild dream. Like, it's really wild. Okay, I'm
okay.
Telling you, I've never done anything.
Yes.
So I think it would be crazy and really cool. And why not?
You
know,
it would
be
exactly.
Really fun if me and my cousin started a band. Okay. And I've been trying to recruit my cousins for like the past 5 years. Nobody wants to do it with me, and I really think, like, what's the worst that can happen?
Totally.
We learn how to play an instrument, like, so that's what I want to manifest.
Okay, great. All right, so you're thinking the thought.
Okay.
I started a band. Because really what you want to do is you want to anchor and it's already done.
Okay.
So
I want to anchor as if it's already done.
Exactly. You want to anchor this that reality.
Okay.
Because what happens is with the law of vibration, the way it works is we have this experience and then we're faced with this experience. And so we continue to perpetuate that experience. So basically you not having a band perpetuates you not having a band.
Right.
But if you can anchor into, I have a band with my cousins.
I do have a band.
Exactly. Okay. And then you move to the next point, which is the feeling.
Okay.
How does it feel?
It feels
to have a band with your cousins.
So cool. I feel like the coolest person in the world.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, just feel into that feeling of like, wow, you're on stage. What instrument are you playing? Are you
drums.
Singing?
You're the drums.
You're the drummer.
The drum sometimes singer. We're still trying to figure that out.
All right, great. So you're playing the drums.
Yeah.
What are you playing? You singing? You still haven't figured that out yet?
She's behind the scenes.
All right.
Songwriter.
Songwriter. Yeah. Awesome. You need those. Very important. Yeah. So feeling into the feeling in the body. And then the next point, and that's actually water. So it's fire, air is thought, water is the feeling in the body, and then the sensation, earth. So that's the way that you anchor in the 3D realm, this third dimension, is the five senses. And this is the piece that so many people miss. How does it feel? How does it feel? Feel the drumsticks in your hand. Can you feel the drumsticks? Can you feel the seat of the cushion underneath you?
Uh-huh.
Can you feel the energy coming from the crowd? Can you hear them clapping?
Yeah.
Can you hear the drums?
Yes.
Can you taste the beverage of your choice that you're going to sip because you're like sweating bullets in the middle of your set?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you see all of your cousins on stage with you jamming out, having the best time ever?
Oh, yeah.
Inspiring so many people to do whatever it is that they want to create for themselves?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you let it go. You just let it go.
Just let it go.
You let it go. And the analogy I love with this, with manifestation, is like when you're putting in an order to the universe, it's like having a server. Like you go to a restaurant. You look at the menu, and you're like, oh, okay, this is what I want. And then the server comes over. It's like, what would you like? You tell them your order, and they go, and they bring you your food. You know it's coming. There's not one point after you place your order where you're like, I wonder if the food's going to come. Do you think that we're going to get it?
Right.
Do you think it's going to come? I wonder if it's going to come. And normally, when you just interact with the people who are there, you do something else, you don't think about it, it comes before you even expect it.
So
but what happens is we have this attachment to it coming that it actually perpetuates that vibration of not having it because you're experiencing not having it.
Oh.
And the analogy I love with the waiter is like when if you held them and you're like, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. If they don't go put in the order, they can never bring it to you. So you put in your order, you let them go, they bring it to you.
My order's in.
Your order's in. You say, thank you more, please. And this is a great exercise to do in the mornings or at night.
Okay. So wait, so
especially
do I,
at night.
So I do, manifest that specific thing multiple times?
You're a powerful manifestor. You already just did
it.
You just did it. And you could, if you wanted, like before you went to bed, of just like, here I am on planet Earth. My band just started. It feels so good in my body. We have practice tomorrow morning.
Right.
And I'm so excited. You know, and the more that you can anchor into those sensations, those feelings, the better.
Okay.
That's just, I feel like the piece, like we have all these tools that we hear about all the time, but people, I don't feel like I was never taught that besides my alchemy teacher of like when you, the way to anchor something into this 3D reality is feel it like it's already happened. And the best way to do that is through the five sensations.
Okay.
And then letting it go.
All right, sweet. Wow, thanks.
I can't wait to hear about your band.
I know, I can't wait to tell you about it.
I can't wait to go see you guys play live.
You'll be the first person we invite.
Hope I get backstage passes.
Well, thanks for that. I'm sure like my listeners are going to be sitting there like manifesting stuff. I was going to ask you specifically, what could I and my community do for you? Because you've done so much for us.
Aww.
And so, like, it could be anything. I think I suggest you shouting out your YouTube channel, starting opening it like tonight, and like so that there's a link I could put in the description of everywhere I'm gonna post this. But it could be other things too. Yeah, it could be anything. What could we do for you?
You're so sweet. So kind. I just want you to keep doing what you're doing, what you're both doing, your whole team. I mean, it's so beautiful, and really for your subscribers, like an invitation to really live life on the court. You know, it's so easy to get stuck watching other people live their lives. So many people don't believe that they have gifts to offer the world. And I see so many people that get stuck sitting on the bleachers and watching other people live their lives. And what I want to invite your subscribers to do is what you're doing, you know, getting out there, following these sparkly breadcrumbs, talking to strangers, getting inquisitive, asking spirit or guides, or maybe you don't even know, for messages and guidance, because this life can be so fun and fulfilling in every single moment. And yeah, really all I want is for you to keep doing what you're doing, because it's such a gift. And yeah, I feel like I don't need anything or have any requests in this moment.
I think that's beautiful, but I also, if you're not going to say it, I'm going to say it. The link to our YouTube channel is in the description. Check it out. Honestly, like, aww, we're just seeing glimpses of Sarah right now, and I know there's, like, so much more to you. And, you know, like, I don't think it's fair that they always have to come to my episode to see you. Like, why not just go directly to you through your YouTube channel, show her some love. Work your magic for her too.
Aww.
And we have like the questions.
Cool.
From the listeners. Are you happy / happier since the episode? I guess we know that you're happy, but would you say you're happier?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that I'm happier.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So this one's interesting. I think they specifically asked this because you are a very forgiving person. They said, is there anyone in your life that you haven't forgiven?
I'm sure. You know, I believe forgiveness is for ourselves. I think that true healing and alignment occurs when you forgive everybody. And there's places in my life that I don't feel like are flowing completely. And so that's what makes me believe there are definitely people in my life that I haven't forgiven. But it's not my intention. My intention is to practice forgiveness for everybody that I come across. And again, it's like I said, once you've been to the other side, you realize like anything that you're holding that doesn't feel good is only harming yourself. It is my intention to forgive everybody in my life if I haven't forgiven them yet.
Me too. I want that for me too. It's hard though. Sometimes people hurt you so bad that it's like hard to forgive them.
Well, but I think it's like one of my favorite sayings is hurt people hurt people.
I know. I always say that too.
And when you can see their inner child wounded and craving love and seeking to be seen and heard and understood, it's most likely why they acted in the way that they did. And
yeah, I've said that phrase so many times too, hurt people hurt people. And I always said it with like trying to express that, like when someone would tell me, like, you know, someone said something to me and it hurt, and I like it just like as a way of like comforting them, like the way you just did for me, like, you know, like hurt people hurt people. But recently I've been looking at it in a different way, and it makes me want to forgive even more. It's like, what if I'm on the other end of that? Because I'm hurting people, you know?
Totally.
Right? So that's
totally
why I don't want to be hurt, so I don't hurt people. So like I mean, I don't have that many, like, there's probably like, I probably even cut this part out because I don't even like talking about it, but I'm not gonna cry. jeez, why am I about to cry?
It's okay if you do. And you already said you're going to cut it out, so we'll definitely cry.
I don't want to cry right now. If I wanted to cry, I would. But yeah, so like, oh my God.
And let yourself feel it. So what do you feel right now? What are the feelings that come up?
Like, I have no idea.
It's okay. Confusion. Let yourself feel it, and if you can put a name to it, do it. Just say, I feel, I am, I have tears coming out of my eyes. Just name the things that come up.
Got tears in my eyes. I feel like you guys are looking at me. I don't like crying.
I love it. I love that you're crying right now, because I feel like crying is so healing. I feel like it's one of the most I feel like it's nectar. It's like nectar of the gods. So when I was like, cry, cry.
You're saying the things I say to people when they're crying in front of me. It's like interesting to be on the other side. But yeah, I guess like I just have this fear. Like, there's so much, like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's also, this is so good. I'm sorry to feel so happy right now, but I'm so happy right now. Is that why you ask people their secrets?
Maybe. This took a turn. I don't know how to forgive people on my own.
I can show you. I do an exercise called tapping. Have you ever heard of it? EFT?
No.
Yeah. And so we have these meridian points all over our body, and we can tap through them and reprogram these emotional points. And you just go through these. So at the top of the head, the top of the eyebrows, basically, the temples, under the eyes, under the nose, the chin. Then we have these, like, two reset points. I kind of, like, where it's, like, where the, like, gorillas are. It's, like, these emotional reset points. And basically what it does is it alerts the body, like, hey, I want to reprogram my emotions right now. Like, under the bra, basically. Like, under the ribs, mm-hmm. Bra line. And then the side of the ribs. And then you actually have the thumb. Fingers. And then you move to the back of this finger, back of this finger, and then here. And yeah, you just go through, and you can do this with anything. Of like, anytime I have, even like if I'm not like wanting to feel something, so let's just say, and repeat this, even though I don't want to be talking about this right now.
Even though I don't want to be talking about this right now,
I still love and accept myself.
I still love and accept myself.
Even though I feel like I don't understand forgiveness.
Even though I feel like I don't understand forgiveness,
I still love and accept myself. What are you feeling now?
I'm really not thinking about anything.
Great. Even though I'm not thinking about anything?
Even though I'm not thinking about anything,
I still love and accept myself.
I still love and accept myself.
Inhale. Exhale. How are you feeling?
Good. I hear the birds. Dang, why are the birds so loud?
Because your thoughts are so quiet.
Yeah.
I feel like they're celebrating.
You hear them too?
Mm-hmm.
Dang. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
We could talk more off camera, but I need to wrap this up somehow. You're so cool. I don't use that lightly either. Like, it takes a lot for me to think someone's cool. I think you're just like one of the coolest people I've ever met.
Likewise.
So, yeah. So too. Thank you. Everyone, check out her channel. And yeah, I don't know, my mind's kind of fogged up, so we're just gonna end it there.
Yay.
Well, that was crazy. I didn't sign up for that.